Growing Healthy Pigs podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Growing Healthy Pigs podcast. I'm Ingrid Potter, Key Account Manager for Pigs at MSD Animal Health UK. This is the podcast that talks about key industry news and updates within the pig sector. In this episode, we're discussing sustainability, which is a hot topic in the UK, not only in the agricultural sector, but across the board. Firstly, let's dissect what sustainability means. The dictionary definition of sustainability refers to the ability of something to be maintained at a certain rate or level. We often refer to sustainability as being either economic, environmental, or driven by society. In today's episode, we'll be focusing specifically on environmental and business sustainability within the pig industry. We're talking to Fiona Short from the Centre of Innovation of Excellence in Livestock about the government net zero carbon targets and if this is achievable for the pig industry. We'll also catch up with Ian Baker, one of our Growing Healthy Pigs ambassadors, on the changes he and his brothers have made to make their pig business more sustainable. So if you're listening to us in the shed, tractor, or in your kitchen while you rustle up some dinner, get comfy and stay tuned. Carbon emissions are a talking point in British farming, with the government pledging to achieve a net zero agricultural industry by 2050, and the NFU bringing this target even further forward to 2040. When we think of these targets, we inevitably think of environmental impacts and cost of production. But does having a healthy and happy herd also come into this? Today, we're speaking to Fiona Short from the Centre of Innovation of Excellence in Livestock, who last year launched their net zero carbon report that investigates the sustainability of the UK livestock sector.
Hello, I'm Fiona Short. I am the innovation manager at CL. I've been at CL for 7 months, working with the head of innovation, Dr. Mark Young, and our university members and industry members on various projects, including sustainability, health, obviously the main topic, net zero at the moment, working on projects to bring forth some ideas and research proposals.
Fantastic, Fiona. Thank you for that introduction. So today, as you said, we're here to discuss that piece of data that you've been investigating and writing your report on. So Fiona, could you just give us a brief summary of what your report covers?
Yes, the report was commissioned by CL and it involved 8 academic institutions, and it was then backed by a further 6 academic institutions. And we looked at animal protein production across the UK in terms of dairy, beef, sheep, pig, poultry, all the different inputs, feed, water, heating, and looked at all the emissions. So we took all those factors into account, drafted our results together, and we actually had a good itinerary, really, of where the main issues were in terms of methane production and carbon footprint.
Thank you for that summary, Fiona. That's really useful for our listeners. How environmentally sustainable is the pig sector compared to other sectors?
Surprisingly so, actually. The pig sector is very sustainable and produces very little methane emissions compared to ruminants. The sector produces very high quality meat, and the waste is utilised on the field for following crops as part of a circular economy. Pigs are also very good at exploiting former foods as a feed source, thus reducing food waste. This issue was highlighted in the recent National Food Strategy report that came out a couple of months ago.
And are these all topics that then you've covered in your report?
Some have been covered in our report, yes, and obviously moving forward, others more so in future reports that we're currently working on.
Fantastic. So are the net zero carbon emissions then, in your mind, are they realistic for agriculture?
They are hard. They are very tough targets. But we have already started to try to reduce carbon footprint and also emissions. Over the last 17 years, we've already reduced the carbon footprint of pig production by about 37%. But there is a lot more to be done. In terms of ruminant, there are some areas of the country which are best placed for ruminant production. You know, you can't grow crops on that land, so the land is much more suitable for grazing animals. In terms of pigs, you know, we're hoping that further production improvements, food and feed sources for pigs, will further reduce emissions. And one thing we do have to remember is we can't destock our farms and therefore import from overseas. We need to be able to maintain good food security in the UK and reduce emissions wherever they occur.
Absolutely. And you were saying there, Fiona, that we've already seen a 37% reduction in carbon emissions within the pig sector alone, which is a really fabulous number. You know, that's something we ought to be proud of.
Yeah.
What does this represent? What's already been done in the pig sector to bring them to this number? And what do you feel could be done more to push this even further?
A lot has been done in terms of production systems, you know, sort of feed formulation, the use of enzymes, you know, phosphorus, making nitrogen more available to the animal, fine formulating of feeds, maintaining an adequate amino acid profile of the feed, meeting the animal requirements, and also improved health, improved results in food efficiency, lower mortality rates. So I think they're the main areas.
That kind of starts to kind of look at my next question, which was really like, how does health and welfare impact a farm's sustainability and carbon emissions? So obviously, you've already touched on that as the health improves, the carbon emissions reduce. Is there anything else you can comment on about the intrinsic link here between health and welfare and sustainability?
Yeah, I think any animal that is at full health and has really good welfare conditions will generally be able to be more efficient in terms of its growth, be able to utilise its nutrients more efficiently. So there'll be less feed sort of basically going straight through the animal, you know, at the other end. And so emissions in terms of excreta and everything will be limited. And you know, maximising nutrient uptake. And also animals of really high health status in terms of longevity. If you're looking at your reproductive sow, you know, the longer you can keep that sow producing piglets, the lower the carbon footprint. You have to produce less sows to produce a sort of similar number of piglets.
Thank you for sharing that, Fiona. And just for a bit of clarity for our listeners, because I think maybe a lot of our listeners won't have read the report. Can you really summarise, because it was certainly something I found really interesting, what is it? You know, we've talked here about the feed conversion and how our pigs using the feed well will reduce carbon emissions. But what is it in the farming sector that creates this carbon footprint that everyone's talking about?
In terms of pigs, the main carbon footprint is the result of the feed. The majority of the protein in the pig feed is currently soya. And that soya is imported, so it comes from America and Brazil, most of it. So whereas, you know, you don't see the carbon footprint in the UK, the carbon footprint happened over in America, and the soya obviously has been imported as well, so there's a carbon footprint of transport. So that's the main source of the carbon footprint in terms of the UK pig herd and the feeding of the UK pig herd. In terms of sort of future work, there's lots of studies currently ongoing to see how we can replace this imported soya with homegrown proteins.
So great. So homegrown proteins should be the focus for the future to make our farming more sustainable in the UK.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So apart from homegrown proteins, because obviously as we understand that's a much wider discussion, are there things that producers can be doing at real grassroots level that can help to contribute to reducing the emissions targets?
I think it is looking at what else we could feed them. It's the use of former foods or food waste, looking at more studies and how we can utilise those type of products. That sort of needs to be instigated by the feed industry, really, aided by academics, also with some government research. And Innovate UK have already part-funded a suitable research facility in terms of the National Pig Centre at Leeds University, which is perfect for indoor and outdoor pig studies, looking at the ways that we could treat former foods or different feed products and the effect on pig production and the environmental aspects as well. The other issue that also we have in terms of rearing pigs is the slurry. So, you know, we're looking at ways of applying slurry at the correct time to reduce emissions, but also how can we treat the slurry. And another development that they have at the National Pig Centre at Leeds as well is the N2 applied slurry treatment system, which there is one at Leeds, funded again by Innovate UK. And this is where fresh slurry is reactive with nitrogen from the air to make a stable nitrogen fertiliser product. And the first sort of test run will be done at Leeds over the next few weeks to look at the impact that such treatments can have on slurry and reducing methane nitrogen emissions.
Oh, well, that's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that, Fiona. I mean, again, because I keep bringing it back to the farm level, are there tools to measure these carbon emissions or the sustainability or the carbon footprint of a business? Have you produced those kind of tools?
We haven't made any tools ourselves. In the report, we looked at three tools, all slightly different, all had pluses and negatives. There's no ideal one at the moment. There is another one that we've heard of recently that we've not looked at fully, but we do suspect that there will be more coming out over the next 3 years, and there'll be much more innovation in this area, and they will become more accurate. In terms of what type of tool, we would say you need to do a full life cycle analysis, not just an inventory analysis. Because if you look at a full life cycle approach, you take in full account of any carbon footprint from overseas, not just in your own particular country.
Fantastic. That is one of the things, Fiona, that some of my producers have fed back to me. You know, we know with our big integrators, they're really focused on this carbon net zero target. And it is something I hear from the field quite often, that producers are finding it difficult to understand what their impact is. So I think it's really great that we've got some tools here that can help our producers. And I think this is a really good signpost to those tools. Is there anything you feel that we haven't touched on today, Fiona, that you want our listeners to take on board and think about when they're thinking about carbon emissions for the future?
I think really the only thing that we haven't probably covered is the importance of a really good stocks person on your farm. They are the expert, really, when it comes to, you know, running the farm, looking after the animals, and they will typically tell you when there is a problem. They will know that something's not quite right, you know, just the way the animal's behaving, you know, the way they're eating, you know, those sort of signs. And that can also be backed up by, you know, sort of some basic sensors, looking at sort of the animal temperatures, the feed intake, to give you sort of information quickly, where the stocks person can't be there 24/7, the sensors can be, and that can give you some initial data that can hopefully help to pinpoint a problem before it really takes hold. And hopefully it gives you that chance to do something about it and to be able to treat, you know, the relevant animals quickly, appropriately. So you've not got to obviously, you know, try and reduce antibiotic use as well, but also sort of nip it in the bud, really, and hopefully, you know, reduce the impact on the rest of the herd.
No, absolutely. I think sometimes it's overlooked. You know, we have some absolutely fabulous fields people in our industry, and it's just reminding them that you're the eyes and ears on the ground. So if you see something, make sure that you're flagging it, because the guys at the top need to know what's going on at the ground so we can actually make an impact. Well, Fiona, I can't thank you enough. That's been a really insightful discussion. I'm sure our listeners will be excited to hear what you've got to say on the matter. So thank you for your time today. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Our Growing Healthy Pig Ambassadors are a group of like-minded, forward-thinking pig farmers who make it their mission to grow healthy and happy pigs. Today, we're talking to Ian Baker to gain his insight on business sustainability and how he and his brother have worked to future-proof their outdoor pig unit. Thank you for joining us today, Ian. For any of our new listeners connecting with us today, can you please just introduce yourself and tell us a little about your business?
Yes, Ingrid. I'm Ian Baker. Along with my brother Michael, we run an outdoor free-range breeding and finishing pig business based across North Norfolk.
Fantastic. Thank you. Today we're coming together to talk sustainability in the pig industry and what businesses are doing within the industry to become future-proof. So in your view, what does the term business sustainability mean?
I always put that into three buckets, effectively, which come together to make sustainability in my mind. One of those is animal welfare and how we improve welfare going forward and continually keep to do that. The second is the environment and how we contribute towards the environment and how we improve on our interface with the environment around carbon offsetting, etc. And the third bit from a business sustainability viewpoint for me is the viability of the business itself going forward. It's absolutely no good having cracking animal welfare standards, being great at the environment, if actually you can't make business model work. So it's those three bits of the jigsaw: a business model that works, which leads to improved animal welfare and improved interface with the environment.
Absolutely. And Do you think the pig sector in a whole has ticked the boxes for those three pillars? Do you think it's future-proof and it will be able to sustain itself in the next 10 to 20 years?
That's an interesting question. I think the pig sector is future-proof in the sense that it will be here in the next 10 to 20 years. I think there will be a demand for pork as part of a food and a diet, and therefore I would argue that the pig sector itself, in the wider sense, is going to be part of our farming landscape through that time frame. As for individual businesses, that's a different question, but I think we should recognise that in any industry and in any sector in any industry, there are always a range of performances and different types of business across the spectrum, and that there will always be an element of those businesses that is ceasing to trade for whatever reason. So does the pig sector being future-proof mean that all the businesses that are currently here today will still be here in 10 or 20 years' time? Absolutely not, but the sector itself, I think, will be.
And is there certain steps that you feel other people in the pig industry, you know, based on your own experiences and your own business, is there steps that other people in the industry could be taking to future-proof their own businesses?
I think that's all relevant to for individual farmers, if you like, to look at their own businesses. From our perspective, one of the things we've attempted to avoid being is competing on price and being a producer, because that's a game, I think, that ultimately you will lose, because the bigger, more efficient, more economic business is always going to be able to beat you at that. Therefore, finding a point of differentiation, a USP in the market or something, helps from an SME sustainability viewpoint. And actually that applies again whether you're in pig farming or actually in any other sector. You know, how can Absolutely. You have some point of differentiation which gives you that sustainable future going forward?
Absolutely. And I know before you mentioned about animal welfare, and I think that's something that comes up time and again. You know, we have a lot of challenges within the pig industry, you know, especially with Ruma targets. Do you feel that other producers have a clear understanding of business sustainability, and do you see people making changes?
Yes, is the answer to that. I think people are making changes. I think if you looked at where the industry is today, when you compare it with where it was when I first saw it close up 25, 30 years ago, there's been quite a lot of change. Some of the standards of accommodation and some of the methods of treatment of pigs that were around 20 to 30 years ago are no longer acceptable in today's market. So yes, the industry has come quite a long way in its move, and that majority of individual farmers have. Is there more that can be done? Yes, because there always is. There's always tomorrow. There's always another goal. And we just need to remember that having moved ourselves from A to B, that's never enough. You've got to get to C at some point. So I do think we've seen change. I do think people understand the need for change. I think as buying habits of the consumer change and as consumer awareness of animal welfare issues changes, we have to do more as an industry to keep going in the right direction.
And as a business yourself, I know you've put a lot of thought into the welfare of your pigs. I know, for example, you're a real industry leader on intradermal vaccination and moving to a higher welfare position with your pigs. And how do you feel that focus on pig health and welfare has created a sustainable business for you?
So it's quite interesting. Given my background, I will always rabbit on to Michael about cash being king in the business, because without cash, do anything. His response to that as a stockman is always health is king, because without health stock, this just doesn't work. So yeah, we've got an absolute focus on the health and welfare of our stock right from the start of the cycle, right through to the end, because we think that's key part of the equation. The stronger we can be on that, the better.
Thank you for that insight, Ian. So do you think that other producers consider the impact of health and welfare on their overall business performance?
I think they do. I think from what I've seen of the industry and those I've talked to, there is a recognition that health and welfare impact on performance. But I think sometimes physical constraints will get in the way of them being able to make certain improvements. I suppose my background, again, is all about, you know, how does something that you do on the ground in an operational term impact the financial viability of the business at the end? So we probably watch that more closely than most. But then we've got quite a unique background between Michael and I that gives us the opportunity to do that.
So moving on, I'd like to pick your brains a little bit about the carbon footprint of the pig industry. So in the past 20 years, the carbon footprint of the pork industry has reduced by almost 40%. Really driven by increased productivity and the introduction of homegrown protein solutions. Recently, the NFU has published plans for UK agriculture to be greenhouse gas net zero by 2040. Some of our big UK pork producers are leading this charge, but do you think this topic is gaining traction in the wider UK pig industry?
I think the wider UK pig industry is very aware of it. I'm not sure it's gaining traction. And it's quite interesting here. So we've done some work on it. And knowing where to start is quite difficult. There are a number of different calculators out there, each of which comes up with a different answer. So working out which one's right for you and whether the answer's realistic is quite an interesting question. Getting a comparative is quite difficult. Finding a business that's similar so you can get a comparative to understand whether you're good, bad or indifferent or average is quite difficult as well. And there's no publication of bits and pieces out there. And critically from our end, how you treat some inputs and some areas of the wider carbon piece is quite interesting. We rent a lot of land. Does our rented land bit go into the landowner's carbon calculation or do we do it ourselves? And how do we avoid double counting? So there are lots of tricky issues when it comes to looking at your carbon footprint for an individual business. From my perspective, I could do an awful lot of work, put an awful lot of time, effort and energy into coming up with an answer that might be absolutely irrelevant when my supply line and my supply chain takes me down a different route in 3 or 4 years' time. So we've looked very hard at it. I could tell you what our carbon footprint looks like off various different calculators, but I'm not sure which one's right or not. And if that's my experience, why would that experience be any different for anybody else in the industry? And why as an industry would we be spending huge amounts of time trying to arrive at a solution and answer when I'm not sure the tools we've got at the moment are the right ones?
No, that's really interesting. And I think it's really interesting to speak to people like yourselves. And as you've said, you've got this real breadth of knowledge and experience. And if you chaps are finding this a challenge to understand your carbon footprint, how are other people in the industry finding it? So do you feel there's anything that the government ought to be doing to support our farmers and understanding where they sit currently versus where they need to be?
I don't know whether it's the government or whether it's industry itself, but perhaps maybe some of the lobby groups, AHDB, maybe the MPA, I don't know. But perhaps there's an argument here for trying to look from an industry perspective around what a standard calculation for carbon footprint should be for a business. Because that way, actually, if we're all using broadly the same tools and delivering the same sort of results, we've then got a matrix we can all work off as to how we improve this. And again, the challenge from our end, so when I've done the calculation, the biggest contributor is feed. I don't think anybody would be surprised at that. Whereas we're buying feed in off a feed supplier. So the interesting dynamic there is my ability to influence the change of diet or what goes into that feed manufacture to help get that down is probably quite limited. So I think there are some big questions to be asked as to how we help individual business understand their carbon footprint and how actually we give them the levers to be able to drive that result in the right direction, because I don't think anybody would disagree with the NFU's target. I'm quite comfortable with it, but the sooner I'm able to understand where I'm at and the sooner I'm able to draw up a plan as to how do I get to net zero by 2040, the better chance I'm going to have of achieving it.
Absolutely. So this, we really are here talking about the clarity of industry bodies to support our UK pig industry to understand and reach those targets.
Yeah, and I don't personally believe we should be seeking that from government. I think the industry should be doing it itself. You know, there's an opportunity. The pig sector is quite niche in the UK and quite different to a lot of the other farming sectors. I think there's an opportunity for the pig sector to lead the way here in terms of, you know, a sector saying we've looked at this, found a method of addressing it, we're going to try and apply that across the sector. And I sense that if we're capable of doing that, the answer might be something that works for us rather than getting something that doesn't work imposed day to day.
Absolutely agree, Ian. Thank you for your insights on that. Just really to wrap things up then, so can you pinpoint for us and our listeners here today, really what key changes have you made to future-proof your business around sustainability?
We've looked really hard at animal health and we've changed our production system to something very different to try and ensure that we've got that health in the right place going forward. So we are a single parity operation right across the business, which is quite unusual. That we feel gives us a better control of health right across our range. We do most of our in-house management ourselves, so all our movement, etc., to try and control, again, disease and improve health across the stock. We're quite careful on antibiotics, minimal usage where we can. So we've driven quite hard down a health route for piglets, pigs, with an aim of getting healthier stock, working into our welfare routes. We're quite extensive on our finishing side as well in terms of space and how we operate, which we think helps the cause as well. So all of that we look quite hard at. We acknowledge it comes at a cost. And, you know, if you stood us up against an indoor producer, operator, we would would struggle to compete, but that's not the market we're after. It's very different at this end. And I think that's all part of the equation, is that if you're looking at a niche that we can supply into that ticks all the boxes and allows us to put the right health and welfare standards into play, we're quite happy with that.
Fantastic. So it's really great to hear, you know, health has really come through there as the forefront of your considerations within your business. And obviously this idea of a unique selling point and really playing to your market rather than competing on price. So I think those are really the key messages that have come out for the sustainability piece today. So really a huge thank you for us here at MSD for joining us for the Growing Healthy Pigs podcast. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much indeed.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Growing Healthy Pigs podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your chosen platform and follow us on LinkedIn for regular updates on the pig industry, plus the latest tips from our ambassador farmers. See you next time.
The Growing Healthy Pigs podcast.